Amen, amen. Good morning, church. It's so good to be here this morning in this very important day for our congregation, for our church. We're going to, as we just saw, we're going to celebrate the groundbreaking. I always find it hard to translate the word groundbreaking. So in Spanish, we say la primera piedra, right? The start of the building. And I'm so excited for this service. We're together, both congregations. Hispanic ministry, the English-speaking contemporary worship congregation as well. It's so good to be here this morning. And before I go to the sermon, let me just say this, because I know there's people, you know, Hispanics, we tend to be late to stuff, and that's just how we are. I was late for the service too, so I know there's people, and I see some seats on this side. You wouldn't mind if they cross all the hall to this way, right? We don't mind, so If someone sees people, because I know they were willing to enter, so just for you to know. Okay, let's go to our sermon. I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much, Pastor Greg, for this opportunity. I'm just so joyful for the opportunity to share the Word of God. It's also a great responsibility, and I thank you so much for this opportunity, dear Pastor. Also, happy birthday, because it was his birthday on Wednesday. Is that? Yes. Thank you. We thank God so much for the pastor we have. We thank God for your life, Pastor. We love you and we truly appreciate your ministry in this church. Buenos días a todos. Es un gozo estar aquí presentes. Quiero agradecerle al Pastor Greg por la oportunidad de predicar. También feliz cumpleaños. Y Dios lo bendiga mucho, querido Pastor. Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable, dear church? Yes. I'm going to get you uncomfortable. Is that right? Because I think we need to get uncomfortable sometimes in order to grow, in order to show love to each other. So I'm going to preach both languages. I'm going to preach in English and then Spanish. So maybe we need to deal with the groundbreaking until 2 p.m. Is that correct, Pastor Greg? I'm just kidding. Voy a hacerlo en dos idiomas. Espero que estén cómodos. Los voy a poner un poco incómodos porque vamos a predicar en dos idiomas. So we're going through the book of Acts, and we are in chapter 8, and we've been seeing how the gospel has been spreading out throughout the Roman Empire. And today we're going to see at the story of a man that came to Jesus Christ. He was the Ethiopian eunuch. We don't know his name, but we know that he came to the feet of Jesus. Hemos estado yendo a través del libro de los Hechos, y hoy vamos a ir a la historia de el eunuco etíope. But before that, let me reflect on this. Do you remember the Berlin Wall? The Berlin Wall was a wall that was built in Germany to prevent people from East Germany to cross to West Germany. But it was more than just a wall. It was a division between families and friends and just relationships. So when the Berlin Wall was down, was taken down, families were reunited. Friendships were brought together again after years of separation. And that is a reminder that we human beings, we like to divide ourselves. We like to put walls between each other. And that also reminds me of the greatest wall of all. And that's sin. Because sin separates us from God. Sin is a barrier between we and God. But the gospel of Jesus Christ breaks the walls. God sent his only son here on earth to break the walls, to break the wall that separated us from God, to make a way back to God. And that's what we are going to talk about this morning, about the gospel that breaks barriers. ¿Te acuerdas del muro de Berlín? Era un muro que separaba Alemania del Este, Alemania del Oeste. Y no solo separaba políticamente, separaba familias, separaba amistades. Por eso cuando fue derribado, las familias fueron vueltas a traer unidas. Y eso nos recuerda que los seres humanos nos gusta poner divisiones unos entre otros. Y eso me recuerda la más grande división de todas, que es el pecado que nos separa de Dios. Y el Evangelio de Cristo fue enviado a la tierra para traernos de regreso a Dios, para abrir un camino al Señor. Y de eso vamos a hablar el día de hoy, del Evangelio que rompe las barreras. So let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible reading in the book of Acts, chapter 8. We're going to read from verses 26 to 40, and we're going to listen to the Word of God on the screen. You're going to have the English audio and the translation in the subtitles in Spanish. Vamos a la palabra de Dios en las pantallas. va a ser escuchada en inglés y los subtítulos en español. Let's go with the video.
Philip in the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Amen. Praise be to God for his word. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning, and we pray that you speak to us. Señor, te agradecemos por esta mañana y pedimos que hables a nuestro corazón. In the name of Jesus Christ, en el nombre de Jesús, amén. Amen. This is a powerful and beautiful story about how the gospel of Jesus has been spreading out, as Jesus said, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And the gospel has been reaching out to people in the book of Acts, and this is one more step in that advancing of the kingdom of Jesus. Esta es una historia que nos muestra cómo el Evangelio de Cristo se va expandiendo a todas las personas. And we are going to focus on three characters of this story. We're going to focus, first of all, on the Ethiopian eunuch. He is the receiver of the message. Number two, we're going to focus on Philip, the deacon. He is the messenger, the one who delivers the messenger. And finally, we're going to focus on the message itself, which is the gospel. Nos vamos a concentrar en tres personajes de esta historia. El eunuco etíope, el que recibe el mensaje, Felipe el diácono, el que envía el mensaje, y en el mensaje en sí mismo, que es el evangelio. So number one, the receiver, he was the Ethiopian eunuch. He is the, he was lost and he was found. Let me reflect a little bit about him. He was a very important person. He was a high official in the kingdom of Ethiopia. He was rich, he was wealthy, he had a scroll of the book of the prophet Isaiah, which was expensive at that time. He was a high official, he had everything, he had money, but he still needed Christ. He was looking, he was searching for something. We cannot be sure about this, but he may have been a Jewish convert. He was in Jerusalem worshiping God because there was a feast of the Jewish, and he went to Jerusalem because he was searching God. But this is the interesting part. He was searching God, but even before he was searching God, God was searching for him and sent Philip to find this man. And finally, let us see about this Ethiopian eunuch. He was excluded. He was a eunuch, which means he was a man that was altered of his physical parts, his male parts. And that meant he couldn't participate in worship fully. So he went all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God, but he could not participate fully in worship until he found Christ and he was found. El eunuco etíope era un hombre importante. Era un oficial del gobierno del reino de Etiopía. Era un hombre rico, tenía un libro del profeta Isaías, lo cual era caro en aquella época. y estaba excluido de la adoración. Había ido todo el viaje desde Etiopía hasta Jerusalén para adorar a Dios, pero como era un eunuco significa que es alguien que está mutilado de sus órganos masculinos, no podía participar en la adoración en el templo, porque la ley decía que alguien mutilado no podía adorar al Señor completamente en el templo. Let us identify with the Ethiopian eunuch. Let us relate to him. Maybe you feel like you have everything. Maybe your life is solved. You have a good job, you have money, you have a good family, you have stuff in your life, but you still feel a void inside of your heart. And maybe you're still searching as the Ethiopian eunuch. You're still searching for some kind of meaning, some kind of fullness of life without finding it. Because you know what? There's nothing in this world, and this is the first important lesson in this story. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy the void in your heart. Nothing. There is nothing on earth that can satisfy your soul, that can fill that emptiness in your heart. Because there is nothing, there is someone that can satisfy your soul. And that's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe you are like the Ethiopian eunuch. You feel like in terms of this world, you have it all together. But you still feel that emptiness. And that's why you need Jesus. You need the gospel of Jesus Christ to fill that void in your heart. Maybe, like the Ethiopian eunuch, you have been excluded by human laws and religion. But when you find Christ, rather, when Christ finds you, you are brought in the family of God. You are included. You are loved. Because even before you are searching for God, even before you are looking for answers, He is looking for you because He loves you. And just as He sent Philip to preach the word of God, He has sent people to your life to preach the word of God. So the invitation is, be found by God. Tal vez te sientes como el eunuco etíope. Tienes cosas en tu vida, tienes trabajo, tienes resueltas muchas cosas en tu vida, pero aún sientes un vacío en tu interior. ¿Sabes por qué es eso? Porque no hay nada en este mundo que pueda satisfacer tu corazón. Nada puede satisfacer tu corazón. Es alguien el que puede satisfacer tu vida, llenar ese vacío en tu interior. Y si tú te has sentido como el eunuco etíope buscando algo, déjame decirte que Dios ya te está buscando antes de que tú lo busques a Él. Y si te has sentido como el eunuco etíope, excluido, discriminado por las leyes humanas, por la religión incluso, Cristo te incluye, Cristo te hace parte de su familia. Cuando lo encuentras a Él, o mejor dicho, cuando Él te encuentra a ti, eres parte de su familia, eres encontrado. Por eso la primera invitación es esta, déjate encontrar. Number two, let's focus now on Philip, the deacon. He is the messenger. He was chosen by God and then sent to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Philip was one of the deacons. He was appointed to be a server in the church of Christ in the early church. But then he also received a call to preach the gospel and to share the good news of Jesus. And he was doing that in Samaria. And people were coming to the feet of Jesus. But then God tells Philip, go to the desert and preach to this one man. So let's look to the story of Philip, and let's focus on this. How does a faithful witness look like? How does faithful witness look like in the life of Philip and in our lives too? Vamos a concentrarnos ahora en la historia de Felipe. Él era el diácono, había sido llamado para ser un servidor en la iglesia, pero ahora Dios lo está llamando a predicar las buenas nuevas. Y él está en Samaria predicándole a mucha gente, y de pronto Dios le dice, ve a predicarle en el desierto a una persona. Y Felipe va. Y esto nos enseña algo acerca de cómo se ve el testimonio fiel. Letter A, a faithful witness follows the prompt of the Spirit. Faithful witness follows the prompt of the Spirit. Philip was preaching to many people, and many were coming to the feet of Jesus, but then God tells him, the Spirit tells Philip, go to the desert. Philip didn't make excuses. Hey, Lord, what are you talking about? I'm preaching the gospel here. I'm doing your work. What are you talking about? How you dare moving me from this amazing ministry to the desert to preach to who knows who? But he didn't make excuses. He went to the desert and preached to this one man. I'm sure, my dear brothers and sisters, that the Spirit is telling you right now, even this week, to share the gospel with someone around you, to share the gospel to your friends at work, at school, to your neighbors, to your family. And we are so quick to make excuses. No, Lord, not me. Why now? Maybe later. I don't want to create any conflict. We make excuses. We're good to make excuses. But faithful witness is obedience to the prompt of the Spirit. Lo primero que nos enseña la historia de Felipe es que un testimonio fiel sigue la guía del Espíritu Santo. Felipe estaba predicándole a muchas personas y Dios le dijo, vete al desierto. Él pudo haber puesto excusas, ¿no? Decir, Señor, ¿cómo crees? Estoy predicándole aquí a muchos. Obedeció al Señor. Estoy seguro que Dios te está llamando a compartir el Evangelio con personas a tu alrededor, con tus amigos, familiares, en la escuela, en el trabajo. Y a veces ponemos excusas. No, Señor, ahorita no, mejor después. ¿Qué tal? ¿Qué causa conflicto? Pero la obediencia, el testimonio fiel, sigue la voz del Espíritu Santo. Letter B. A faithful witness cares for the many as much as for the one. Philip was preaching to many people in Samaria, and many were coming to the gospel. But the Lord tells him to go and preach to one person in the desert. Sometimes we think that success, that a successful ministry is about numbers, about having thousands of people listening to you. But that's not true. Successful ministry from the perspective of God is faithful ministry to the many or to the one. When I got saved, many years ago, when I got saved, I remember that what really touched my heart was something that the preacher said. He said this, you know, God sent his son to die for all humanity. And he said this, but even if you were the only person, if you were the only one who needed salvation, he would have died for you. If you were the only one who needed the blood of Christ, he would have shed his blood for you. Because he loves the world. He loves humanity, but he loves you in particular. That touched my heart. And this is our God. He cares for the many, but he also cares for the one. And faithful ministry, faithful witness, is like God. Cares for the many, but also cares for the one. A faithful witness cares for the many and for the ones. Un testimonio fiel se preocupa por los muchos, pero también por los individuos. A veces pensamos que el éxito ministerial depende de cuántas personas te siguen, muchos números. Pero no es así. El éxito desde la perspectiva de Dios está en la fidelidad. ¿Sabes por qué? Porque a Dios ama a los muchos tanto como ama al uno. Cuando yo me convertí, el predicador dijo esto. Si tú hubieras sido la única persona que necesitaba salvación, Cristo hubiera muerto solo por ti. Cristo hubiera derramado su sangre solo por ti. Porque Él ama al mundo entero, pero te ama a ti en particular. Y un testimonio fiel es como Dios. Ama a los muchos y ama al uno en particular. Let's go to letter C. A faithful witness points to Christ through the scriptures. This is perhaps the most important part of this story. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. And from that scripture, from the Old Testament, Philip preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say a little bit more about this later, but now let me point to this truth. The greatest need of any person, the greatest need of any human being is Jesus Christ. It's not money. It's not food, it's not politics, it's not clothes. The most important, the greatest need of any single human being is Jesus Christ, is salvation, redemption in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why it is so important that we as Christians and we as a church, when we do community service, we do it through the preaching of the gospel. You know, because we can give food and clothes and even money to people. And you know what? If that's the only thing we do, we didn't do much of a change in the life of someone. Because food, money, and clothes do not change the eternal destiny of people. Unless we share the gospel through it. Unless we share Jesus Christ. We got to do both. Amen. Words and deeds. One of them alone doesn't work. We gotta preach with words and deeds. Because sometimes we make excuse. We make this excuse. Oh, yeah, yeah, I didn't share the gospel, but I helped someone. I gave them a plate of food. I gave them some clothes or some money. That's good. I'm not saying that's bad. That's good. Wonderful. But you didn't change much of that person. Maybe you changed a day. The Bible says, how will they know unless they hear the gospel? We got to preach with words and deeds, because what people need is Christ. Ultimately, what saves people is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what Philip is doing. He is sharing Christ from that scripture. And finally, letter D, a faithful Spanish, sorry. Un testimonio fiel es aquel que apunta a Cristo. Lo que hizo Felipe es extraordinario, porque el eunuco etíope estaba leyendo del libro de Isaías en el Antiguo Testamento y desde esa escritura predicó el Evangelio. Y esto nos recuerda algo muy importante. La mayor necesidad de cualquier persona es Cristo. No es dinero, no es política, no es ropa. Es Cristo. Y esto es importante porque a veces como iglesia compartimos ayuda a nuestra comunidad. Damos dinero, damos comida, damos ropa y eso está buenísimo. Pero eso no cambia nada en las personas. Eso no cambia el destino eterno de las personas. La ropa, el dinero, la comida no cambia el destino eterno de las personas a menos que vaya acompañado de la predicación del Evangelio. Y a veces ponemos excusas. Bueno, no compartí a Cristo, pero le di una comida, le di una monedita. No compartí a Cristo, pero lo ayudé. Y qué bueno, ¿eh? Pero eso no hizo un cambio real en esa persona. A lo mejor un día, a lo mejor dos días. Pero si no compartimos a Cristo a través de eso, las dos cosas, con actos y con palabras, una sola no funciona. El testimonio fiel apunta a Cristo a través de las Escrituras. And letter D, a faithful witness trusts God with the result. It's really interesting because after the Ethiopian eunuch got saved, was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, in water as well, the Bible says that the Spirit took Philip back to Caesarea to keep preaching the gospel. So Philip did not disciple this Ethiopian. I'm sure the Ethiopian was discipled by someone, maybe by the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But it wasn't Philip. And this is a lesson for us today as well. Sometimes we don't see the results of the seeds that we sow, that we plant. Sometimes we don't see the results. And that's good, because we are not the Holy Spirit. We are not called to change people. We are called to share the good news of Jesus with words and deeds. We cannot change people. That's the work of the Spirit. We are called to be faithful and obedient and leave the results to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. Y por último, un testimonio fiel le deja el resultado a Dios. Es interesante porque Felipe, después de que le predica al etíope, lo bautiza, la Biblia dice que Dios se lo lleva. No lo discipuló, no le dio seguimiento. Estoy seguro que alguien discipuló al etíope, no sé quién, quizá el Espíritu Santo, pero no fue Felipe. Y esto nos recuerda algo importante. No es nuestro trabajo cambiar a las personas. Es el trabajo del Espíritu Santo. Nuestro trabajo es ser obedientes y fieles, plantar la semilla y Dios dará el resultado. Number three. Let's focus now on the message, the gospel, revealed and received. We have focused on the receiver, the Ethiopian eunuch, the messenger, which was Philip the evangelist, and now we focus on the message itself, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This story has very important lessons for us about what the gospel is and what the gospel does. Number one, letter A, the gospel is understood in community. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading scripture, but he was not understanding much. Now, that's similar to us sometimes. Have you ever read the Bible and you don't understand like a thing? Like you read one of those minor prophets or maybe Revelation and you're like, what in the world is here saying, right? What does this mean? What do? You call Pastor Greg immediately or Camden, right? And you, Pastor Greg, please explain this text to me. And you know, I mean, I don't know if you do that, but usually that's what we do. We ask for help to someone else. That's what I do. That's what I do. Seriously. Whenever I don't understand a passage or whenever I'm preparing a sermon, I go to Bible commentaries. I ask pastors. I watch sermons. I get the help of someone else. Because that's how God intended the Bible to be understood and read. The Bible is not intended to be read in isolation. And don't get me wrong. It's wonderful that you go to your room and read the Bible on your own. That's wonderful. But if that's all you're doing, you're missing the best part. Amen. The best part is the community listening the Word of God on a regular basis. That's why we gather together and preach the Word. If not, let us go to our homes and read the Bible on our own, and that's it. But no, the Bible, the Word of God, was given to His people as a whole, as a body. Here, the Ethiopian eunuch needs the help of Philip to understand something very, very important. What is the gospel? And this is what he does. Número tres, vamos al evangelio, al mensaje que fue revelado y recibido. Este texto nos enseña algunas cosas acerca del evangelio de Cristo Jesús. Y lo primero que nos enseña es que el evangelio se entiende mejor en comunidad. Hay veces que leemos la Biblia y no entendemos. Oye, ¿qué dice aquí Apocalipsis? ¿Qué dice aquí libro de Habacuc? Sofonías. Ni siquiera sabía que existía un libro que se llamaba Sofonías. ¿Qué dice aquí? ¿Qué haces cuando no entiendes una parte de la Biblia? ¿Le hablas al pastor? ¿No? Lo despiertas a las 3 de la mañana. Pastor, explíqueme este texto, por favor. O le hablas a alguien. Y así es como Dios creó la Biblia, para que se lea en comunidad, para que aprendamos unos a otros. Eso es lo que yo hago. Cuando no entiendo un texto, cuando preparo un sermón, leo comentarios, le platico a algún pastor, escucho sermones, porque la Biblia fue escrita para ser entendida en comunidad. Por eso hacemos esto cada domingo. Si no, pues vámonos a nuestra casa cada quien y la leemos ahí solitos, ¿no? Pero no, la Biblia fue escrita para que la leamos como un pueblo y la entendamos juntos en comunidad. Letter B. The gospel reveals Christ at the center of Scripture. This is perhaps the most important lesson of this story. And it's the most amazing thing. Because the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is a book that was written, scholars debate when it was written, but let's say 600 years before Jesus was born. 600 years Jesus was born. The prophet Isaiah received this prophecy. And even so much time before Jesus, this is one of the most beautiful, complete, profound explanations of the gospel. 600 years before it happened. And it's wonderful. It's amazing. And I know God is working here. Because it's not a coincidence that Philip got with the Ethiopian eunuch right at the moment that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. It's not a coincidence. It's obvious that it's God at work, because this is one of the most amazing explanations of how Jesus Christ, He is the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for our sins, who shed His blood to take our guilt and to die in substitution of those who deserve death. That's you and me. And it's a beautiful explanation of how the Messiah, the suffering servant of God, took the punishment on His own shoulders, even 600 years before it happened. And this is a reminder, my dear brothers and sisters, that the whole Scripture, every page of this book points to Christ. Every book of this beautiful book points to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the starting point. And the goal. And in every single scene of the Bible, Christ is present in one way or another. This is very important, because so many times when we preach, when we hear sermons and preachings, we hear good advice, good feelings. And that's good. Maybe that they're helpful to be better parent or better at our finances or whatever. But if Christ is not the center of a message, it's not the gospel. As simple as that. That's why in this church, whatever we're preaching, we always make an invitation to receive Christ. Because if we are giving only good advice or good feelings, we're not preaching the gospel. We're preaching human wisdom. But we preach the Word of God. We don't preach our opinions. We don't preach our desires or likes and dislikes. We preach Christ from every single page of the Bible. Segunda cosa que nos enseña sobre el Evangelio es que Cristo es el centro de la Escritura. El eunuco etíope estaba leyendo del profeta Isaías capítulo 53 y no es ninguna coincidencia que Felipe haya llegado justo en ese momento, porque ese capítulo 53 es una de las mejores explicaciones del Evangelio. Y esto es impresionante porque se escribió 600 años antes del nacimiento de Cristo y es una de las más preciosas, profundas explicaciones de lo que Cristo Jesús hizo por nosotros, 600 años antes de que pasara, que Cristo Jesús derramó su sangre en la cruz, llevó nuestra culpa en sustitución de aquellos que la merecían, nosotros, para perdón de nuestros pecados. Y esto nos recuerda que cada página de la Escritura apunta a Cristo, que cada libro de la Escritura, el centro es Cristo. Muchas veces predicamos buenos consejos para ser buen padre, para ser buen administrador, para ser buen hijo, lo que sea, y está bien. Pero si no predicamos a Cristo, ese mensaje no es el Evangelio, porque lo único que salva es Cristo y el Evangelio de nuestro Señor. Letter C. The gospel breaks barriers and reaches the nations. This is very important, especially in a time like the time we live today, where there is so much hate and division and separation. And the Church of Christ is called to be different, to be a place of unity and forgiveness and restoration. And this is what's happening in this story, because the Ethiopian eunuch, he was a stranger. He wasn't a Jew. And he was a eunuch, which means he wasn't allowed to fully participate in the worship of God by the law of Moses. So when he got saved, he asks a question, very important question. He asks Philip, "What prevents me from being baptized?" That's a very important question, because he was told that he was not allowed to worship God in a full way. So now that he received Christ, he's wondering, now what's the wall here? Why am I excluded now? What prevents me from being baptized? And the answer is beautiful. Nothing. Nothing, because Jesus Christ has opened the way. He has opened the door. He has cleared the path to salvation in Christ, and you are welcome, you are brought in. And that's what the gospel does. The gospel unites, the gospel brings together, the gospel heals. Amen. Tercera cosa que aprendemos del Evangelio: el Evangelio rompe las barreras y alcanza las naciones. Cuando el eunuco etíope fue salvado, hizo una pregunta muy especial: ¿qué me impide ser bautizado? Y esa pregunta es especial porque le habían enseñado que él no podía participar en la adoración por completo, que había obstáculos, que había impedimentos. Y la respuesta es preciosa. ¿Qué me impide ser bautizado? La respuesta es preciosa. Nada. Eres bienvenido porque Cristo Jesús abrió el camino. Cristo Jesús abrió la puerta. Cristo Jesús nos hace una familia. Y en un mundo de tanto odio, tanta separación, el mensaje del Evangelio es luz en medio de la oscuridad. And finally, letter D. The gospel calls for a response and produces new life. Philip says to the Ethiopian eunuch, "Nothing. You're allowed to be baptized. If you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are part of His family. Amen. You receive new life, and you are welcome to the family of God." And that's true for you and me as well. But it also calls for a response. And this is my question for you. And let me ask the question that the Ethiopian eunuch asks. What prevents you? What prevents you from receiving Christ, from being found in Christ? What prevents you? The answer is nothing. The path is open. The only thing that can prevent you from receiving Christ is that you don't want to enter that path, is that you reject Jesus Christ. And this is why it's so serious and so terrible that people reject Jesus, because the invitation is open. He died for us. He shed His blood for us. So when people reject Jesus Christ, they are living something they were not created for. They were created for salvation and restoration in communion with God. The question for you is this: what prevents you from being found? And if you have been found already, you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have been baptized, and you receive this new life, the question is this: what prevents you from obeying God, who is sending you to share the good news of his gospel to your friends and family? What prevents you? What excuses are you making? What's keeping you from obeying the commandment, not the suggestion, but the commandment of reaching the nations and preaching the gospel to your friends with words and deeds? The invitation is clear. Obey the Lord, receive his salvation, and obey him to be sent. Por último, letra D, el Evangelio llama a una respuesta y produce nueva vida. Cuando el etíope recibió la salvación en Cristo, fue bautizado, Felipe le dijo, si confiesas que Cristo Jesús es Señor, no hay nada que te impida venir a su familia. Fue bautizado. Y esta invitación es la misma para nosotros. Déjame hacerla de dos maneras. Número uno, ¿qué te impide recibir a Cristo? ¿Qué te impide recibir la salvación de Cristo Jesús? La respuesta es nada, nada. Cristo Jesús murió por ti, abrió la puerta a Dios, derramó su sangre para que tú tuvieras salvación. Lo único que te puede impedir recibir a Cristo es que no quieras, que tú rechaces a Dios. Y eso es muy grave, es muy serio, es terrible. Porque la invitación está abierta. Cristo ya derramó su sangre por ti. Aquellos que rechazan a Jesús están viviendo algo para lo cual no fueron creados. Fueron creados para salvación. Pero en Cristo Jesús hay esa vida nueva. Acéptalo. Y si ya recibiste a Jesús, la invitación es esta. ¿Qué te impide compartir las buenas nuevas con tus amigos, con tus compañeros de trabajo, con tu familia? ¿Qué te detiene? ¿Qué excusas estás poniendo? Deja de poner excusas y sigue al Señor. This is the story of one who was lost, but was found and then was sent. Because you know, this Ethiopian eunuch, some historians say that his life and his testimony is attached to the spread of the gospel in Africa, in early Christianity. We don't know exactly how, but he was sent as well. And this is our story too. We were lost, or maybe you are lost and need to be found today. We were found, and now we are sent to preach the gospel news. Esta es nuestra historia. Esta es la historia de un etíope que fue convertido a Cristo y muy probablemente siguió compartiendo el Evangelio. Dicen los historiadores que gracias a este hombre, el Evangelio se extendió por África. Pero también puede ser nuestra historia. Estábamos perdidos, fuimos encontrados en Cristo Jesús y Él nos envía para continuar las nuevas nuevas. Let us pray. Vamos a orar. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message. We thank you so much for you have found us when we were lost, and you now send us, Lord, to share the good news of your gospel, of Jesus Christ, in whose name there is salvation. Te damos gracias, Señor, porque nos has salvado. Y yo te pido que salves a alguien aquí hoy si no ha recibido el Evangelio y que nos envíes a todos nosotros que necesitamos obedecerte para compartir las buenas nuevas. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús, amén.